are you guys doing this morning? Good. That's a lot better. I like that one a lot better. I'm glad to see you guys here this morning. And those of you that are joining us online or on Facebook or on our website later, it's good to have you. How many of you know that's a good opportunity and a good tool to use to allow people to know what our church is about? You know, a lot of times people will go online and look at a website and listen to the sermons and do all those things before they ever set foot in this door. And so it's an amazing opportunity we have to put that on there and to be able to do that and to be able to share that. That's what I tell people when I give them that little card. I mean, you know, we have little cards, little purple cards you can hand out. And I say, hey, go check us out on the website, man. See if you want to come and hang out with us, man. We'd love to have you be a part. How many of you invited somebody this week? No, don't raise your hand. Never mind. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Let's do this. Let's invite people. Amen? Because last week we had an amazing time. Thank you to everybody who made our Freedom Sunday what it was. We had a really good time. So I don't know if you guys realize, but I was super worried about last week because all week it was 80% chance of rain on Saturday and on Sunday, right? And that's what happens when you plan an event, right? It doesn't rain except for like a half hour in the afternoon, right, here in Florida during the summertime. But then when you plan something out, it just storms, right? And that's kind of how it works out. And so we prayed. Actually, I was at Linda's house, and I said something to her about it. And we were talking. I was on the phone, and she said, well, we'll just pray because I have people coming, and we have the thing at the church. And so we'll just pray that the rain will go away. How many of you know it didn't rain until after we left? Not after we had our event, but we were completely cleaned up, and I got a text from Christy said, hey, did y'all get out of there before the rain hit? Because she lives right down the road, and the rain hit. And she's like, did y'all get out of there before the rain hit? Like, man, we're gone. Everything's put up. Everything's away. It was a good day. And the reason why it was such a good day wasn't just because the rain was gone. Wasn't because we got to watch people shove their face in apple pie. That was a lot of fun. Four of you guys that did that, thank you so much. My daughter says she never wants to see apple pie again in her life. That's just what happens. She's like, I can't, never, at least till 2021. But that's just how it was. A good time. For those of you who bake pies and hung out and had hot dogs, those are the best hot dogs in the world, are they not? So that wasn't the highlight. The highlight was seeing four people baptized on Sunday before we began. Yeah. And Mike, where's Mike? Mike's not here this morning, so I'm gonna steal his thunder. He ain't gonna know I stole it unless he watches online. So I, if you guys remember, it was Brandon got baptized, and then Mike, his daughter, and his grandson got baptized. One grandson first, daughter, and then Mike. And when he got out, I said, "How does it feel to experience your daughter and your grandson being baptized together with you, like as a family doing this?" And you know, he never even answered that question. For those of you who were there, he went immediately to a prayer need of a family member that he had. He said, "Hey man, I need to share this with you. We need to pray for him." And so he had had a stroke and some different things that happened, was in a hospital, kind of was there, but not really doing it, wasn't sitting up, wasn't eating, wasn't doing those things. He came yesterday morning to men's breakfast and said, "I got to tell you something." Came running straight up to me. "I got to tell you something." He said, "We prayed, and when they went into his room that afternoon, the first time they saw him after we had prayed, he was sitting up and he was talking." And that's our God. That's our God. He answers our prayers, y'all. Just so you know, he answers our prayers, and it's important. But we all got to see the need. We got to see us all come together, because immediately we stopped and said, "Let's all bow our heads and pray for him." And we did, and now we get to see the answer. How good is God? All right. That was the fun time. Now, this is going to be fun too, I think. I hope for your guys' sake. This week, we're going to start a new series, and it's called Anxious for Nothing. How many of you have been anxious lately about everything that's going on, right? Have been worried, have been frustrated. We were talking beforehand. I thought about something. This is how my brain works, y'all, okay? We were talking about no matter what decision you make, you're going to have people mad at you. You know, especially as a pastor, that happens, right? You do this, it's not right. You do that, it's not right. You do all these different things that you can't please everyone. How many of you know that, right? So I thought about getting a half a mask, right? Where it would just cover this half and cover that half, so that way I could just make everybody mad, I guess. I don't know. Or everybody be happy. I don't know how that would work. Probably won't do that. That's just how my brain works. It's just, you got to have comedy. Guys, you got to be able to laugh and enjoy and see where you're at and see what God is doing and still have a smile on your face. Amen? Today we're going to talk about anxiety and about when you've had enough, or the mistakes that we make is what I titled the subtitle of this one. Because how many of you know when we get anxious about things, we start making mistakes? And all throughout the scripture, we see these mistakes happening in their lives. And how many of you know our scripture is there not just so that we can see what happened in the past, but so that we learn from it and that we grow from it and that we move forward in our lives so that we can see, oh, I do that same thing. How can I see it not be good in their life, but I think it's okay in mine, right? Like, how is that okay? And y'all be honest, you know you do it, right? We can, like I said the last week or the week before, man, we can see what other people need to do far before we can see what we need to do in our lives, right? We know how you need to handle your situation, your family, your finances, your everything, but I struggle with my own, right? But today we're going to talk about being anxious for nothing, and that's a series that we're going to go into. I'm going to read a scripture. It's going to be kind of like the title scripture for this next few weeks, however long we go through it. It's Philippians 4:4-7, and it says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. When are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord? Always, in the middle of every situation. Amen? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That means don't be crazy, basically, is what that means. Be reasonable in what you do, right? That's the Toby translation of that one. Let it be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand. How many of you know people look at your life and how you react, especially if you say you're a Christian? In the midst of craziness, in the midst of things that are going on, how do we react? People are watching us, so we need to worry about this. Then it says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Notice something. It says the peace of God will guard you in the midst of your issue. It doesn't say that it always takes you out of your issue. Amen? It says that we will have peace in the middle of the battle. In the middle of the issues, in the middle of the things, in the middle of the controversy, in the middle of the craziness that's going on in our mind. How many of you know that's where most of the craziness happens? Be honest, it's in your mind, right? And honestly, that's where the battle truly starts. As I talked about last week, I talked about waging war. War rages. As soon as you give your life to Christ, there's a war that starts off. Where does it start off at? In your mind. In your mind. Because why? Because things come, and then what do? We try to justify, we try to figure out, we try to make sense of, right? And how many of you know there's some things we can never make sense of, regardless? Like my wife and my daughters, so I'll never truly understand everything that happens there, right? I think I do, but I don't. Guys, you'll be honest. Ladies, you be honest, you won't really understand us guys either. Like, we're a lot easier to figure out, but there. Anyway, I'm gonna go back to my notes on this one. How many of you know anxiety is a part of our lives? It happens. Anxiety is a part of our lives. A stressor comes, something happens. So a stressor comes, and normally anxiety occurs as the response. Such as, it could be simple. It could be when we were kids, or maybe you're in college, or maybe you have an exam or a test coming up at your work that you have to take care of. Anxiety sets in, right? An interview, maybe a fight with a friend or a family member or a new job is coming. Anxiety comes into our lives. And when we struggle with our anxiety, anxiety is actually a disorder that comes from being anxious, right? So anxiety is the difference between the two. I'm going to read it out. The difference between the two is this. Anxiety is being anxious about everything in life, right? When being anxious isn't technically a bad thing. There are a lot of things that happen in our life that are not a bad thing. It's how we perceive it. It's how we walk through it. It's what we do with it in our lives. So I can take anxiety and I can completely shut down my life and everything that's going on around me. And how many of you know that's a wrong way to take care of it, right? And you say, well, everybody's different. I totally understand that. And I'm going to give you guys what I see in the scriptures here and what happens and what we do and some of the mistakes that we make when anxiety comes into our life, when being anxious is a part of what happens in our everyday life. All right? You guys ready? I hope so. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle it. We're going to look at Elijah and a situation that happened with him. Elijah is in 1 Kings, in 2 Kings. We read about him a little bit in 2 Kings into the second chapter. I'm going to explain where that's at in a minute. That's our last stop that we're going to make, so don't go to 2 Kings chapter 2 yet. Wait. We're in chapter 19. If you read before this is your homework for the week. I want you to go in here. I want you to read before this as to what happens. There's prophets of Baal. They've been doing wrong. They've been serving and worshiping other Baal instead of God. And Elijah comes on the scene and he says, hey, we're going to make an end of this. Either he's God or my God is God. Right? And I'm going to tell you, it's not him. That's what he said, basically. He said, we're going to make an altar. We're going to do things. We're going to do a sacrifice. I'm going to pour a whole bunch of water on mine, so you know I ain't playing a trick. And you're going to call out to your God and have him send down fire and burn up the altar or burn up the sacrifice. And I'm going to call on my God, and he's not just going to do that. Well, he says he's going to take it up, but he doesn't do that. He takes everything away with the fire that's there, the altar, the water, the everything, right? And so going through that, then he takes the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and he kills them with a sword, okay? You got like, that just escalated quickly, right? But that's what happened. And then, so God tells him all these things, and he goes and does all these things. There are so many miracles that this man did in his life, right? So much so that the man to follow him said, hey, I want a double portion of what you got. Whatever you have, I want double of it. How many of you ever want double of something? Not apple pie, but double of something, right? He said, I want a double portion of what you have. The blessing, the anointing that you have, I want double of it in my life. Do you know what? I wish I had a double portion of what my father has in his life, or the anointing that's in his life, man. I wish. And I pray for it. You know what? So I may get it because I'm asking for it, right? Ask and you'll receive, right? That's why I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. Maybe one day, right? Anyway, he has amazing things happen in his life. God does miracle after miracle after miracle through him. And then one small thing happens, and he's done. How many of you can relate? Right? One little thing happens, and he's done. So I'm going to read to you in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 5. It said, Ahab told Jezebel, which was his wife, all that Elijah had done, because she's the one who brought Baal in. It was from her kingdom, and they married, and read about it, it'll tell you. And how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them this time tomorrow. So if God do to me, if I don't make it happen to you, what you did and more, if I don't do it to you, I'm coming after you, basically. Here I come, ready or not. Here I come, like hide and seek, right? Here, I'm going to come and get you, and you are going to die. It says this in verse 3. It says, then he was afraid, and he rose up, and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And as he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and he went to sleep. Behold, an angel of the Lord touched him, said to him, arise and eat. He said, and he looked, and there, behold, by his head was a cake baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel came to him a second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose, he ate, and he drank, and he went in the strength that the food of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. All right. So this is, I wanted to read all that to you. And we're going to go through this little block of scripture, and I'm going to point out some things. How many of you know, again, we handle some things in an incorrect manner, right? Anxiety comes and we take off. And some of the mistakes that Elijah makes, we make the same mistakes in our life. And the first thing that I want to read, I'm going to read in chapter 3, or in verse 3, and I'm going to say, and he was afraid, and he arose, and he ran for his life, right? The first thing that we tend to do in our lives, just to be honest as humans, when we become anxious about something, when anxiety hits us, we run away. That's what we do, right? Now, I understand the fight or flight, and I understand how we have to make a decision on what to do and how to do it, but she wasn't standing in front of him right at that moment. She just said, I'm about to come get you. How many of you know a lot of the things we face, well, I'm getting into it. A lot of the things we face don't ever actually happen. A lot of the threats that are put against us or said to us or about us are never a true statement. It's there to put fear and to put anxiety into our life. It's there to control our lives, right? And because of this, he takes off and says, man, I'm out of here. She's coming after me? I'm out of here. Not to mention, he just killed 450 guys with a sword, right? Priests. He just did all of that. It's not that he doesn't know how to do battle, right? But his first instinct is to take away and to run away from the situation. We see this a bunch of times in the scripture. Y'all ready for a couple of them? We see Moses. He kills an Egyptian servant. What does he do? He runs away, right? Now, I've often wondered, do you know how God can still bring, let me say it this way. One of my favorite things that I saw, a quote that I have, is that when God called me to my ministry, he had already factored in my stupidity, right? Like, that's an honest to goodness statement. He already knew that I was a bonehead at times, right? And that I was going to mess some things up, right? He already knew that. I wonder if God actually put Moses there. This is me wondering, all right? No scripture behind it. This is just how my brain works. Okay, y'all ready? I wonder if God had put him there in the basket as a child so that he could deliver his children from inside of Egypt. But because he ran, God chose to bring it another way. Right? Because how many of you know what God says is going to happen is going to happen. Right? But how many of you know that I can mess some things up in my life? I believe that we have a free will. I believe that we have a choice. I choose to serve God every day. I get up just the same way. If we put the relationship of the church and God and Jesus in the same mentality as he showed us with the marriage, you know what? Every day I have to get up and decide that I'm going to love my wife the most that I can today. But I could wake up tomorrow. I mean, I won't. I never will. I could wake up tomorrow and decide, hey, I'm done with this and walk away. Right? I believe the same thing happens in the Word of God with our relationship with God. That's what I believe. And I can bear it out in Scripture. That's where I'm at. So, but anyway, the thing about it is we choose what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and whether God's plan is going to take place in our life, whether we're going to learn what he wants us to learn this way or that way, I believe can differ, right? Moses takes off and runs away. What happens? God meets him on the backside of the desert and brings him back, right? We see the Israelites. God delivered them, right? Moses comes. All these things happen. They go out into the wilderness. God says, I'm going to give you this place. We see all these different things happen. And then we see King David come, and we see the Israelites fighting an army. If God says, hey, stick with me. I'm going to get you through all this. Should I believe that he's going to get me through all of it? That if he says he's going to fight my battles for me, then he's going to fight my battles for me, and I just have to do what he asks me to do? The Israelites are standing, and there's a giant that comes out. A giant comes out and starts cursing their God and saying all these different things. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel 17:24. Men of battle, some of them from their youth, right, are coming out and coming to the battlefield and standing there, and one man comes out and says, I'm gonna kill whoever you send out here. Send them out. And what happens? All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were very afraid. They took off running. How many times do we see situations in our life that we think are way bigger than what we can handle? And most of the time, they probably are, without God on our side. And we run away from it. And we never see the glory of what God wants to do in the situation because we're afraid and we take off. And we run away from the situation. Jonah, God called Jonah to go and deliver a whole people. Right? Deliver a whole people. He said, man, I don't really want to do that. I'm going to go do my own thing. So here again, it shows the choice that comes into it. Like, I don't believe God said, man, I'm going to put you in the belly of a fish just so you're going to listen to me. Watch. Here, now run away, and I'm going to bring you back. See how it works? I don't think he plays games like that. I know he doesn't play games like that. He said, hey, I want you to go there. He's like, man, I got a different plan. I'm going here. Guess what? He still ended up there, and a change came. You know what? People might have listened to him a whole lot more because his skin was bleached and his hair was bleached, and he was looking jacked up from being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. They might be like, oh, that guy's scary. Whatever happened to him, I don't want. I'll do whatever you say, right? It may have helped him share the gospel. Don't try it, but it may have helped him, right? So we come and we see him run away. Why? Because he was anxious about the situation. Our first tendency, again, when things happen, is for us to run away. When God is saying, after you've done everything that you can, stand. Stand. And I'm going to bring you through it. When anxiety comes, the first thing we do that is a mistake is we run away. The second thing that I want to talk about in your notes is that we see here is that he shut people out. When anxiety comes into our life, one of the things, or when we're anxious about things, we tend to push people away and shut people out of our lives. And the problem with that is God created us for community. God looked in the scripture and said this. It says, it's not good that man should be alone. If you, it's interesting that this happened. So if you read in the process of how it worked out from Genesis, and you're reading through until Genesis 2, I'm going to read Genesis 2, 19 and 20. It says this: Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the heaven and to the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper for him. So through the process of Adam seeing all these things and seeing what God had created and see how they had come, both male and female, and he named these different things, he began to look around and say, I don't have someone for me. I'm alone in this. Now, let me explain something. He was not alone. God was there with him. Right? Because it says that he communed with God in the cool of the evening. God was a part of his life. He was there. He had all of the animals for him to commune with and to be around. But he wasn't good that he was by himself. We tend to put ourselves, to isolate ourselves in certain ways and bring ourselves away from people when we get in the middle of the problems. And this is the one thing that I want us to understand about that, why that's a bad thing. Are you ready? When I say this one thing, you're going to understand. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. What happens to our mind when we're by ourselves? All sorts of things, right? All sorts of things. And again, the battle goes on in our mind, and we play through scenarios. We go through things that when somebody's there and we're talking to them about our situation, even if we voice in those scenarios, they're giving us a voice of reason a lot of times, unless we just get around those people that are going to be like, oh, yep, you're messed up. Your life's horrible. Careful who you get around, right? Who you have communion with. But we need to have people in our lives. We need to not shut people out. Why? Because when we do that, we're more susceptible to having issues come. We're more easily defeated than when we're together. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this: Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. So two people together are going to accomplish a whole lot more, right? But this is one of the most important things. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. One of the worst things we could do when we are down is to go away by ourselves. Why? Because other people being around us, Christian, godly people who speak the word of God into our life, will lift us up, will pick us up, and will help us get through that mess. Not kick us while we're sitting down there. Right? We need to not, when we get anxious about things, be alone in the situation. We need to talk to people. We need to allow communion, fellowship to come into our lives and not run away from people and then separate ourselves from people. That's one of the worst things that we could do when we become anxious about things. Amen? Hebrews, this is for all of us, 24 and 25. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day draw near. Again, how near does the day look now, right? When we look around. Now, I understand the statement's always going to be true. It's closer than it's ever been. Like, that's what I say to my kids. We're like, are we there yet? We're closer than we were 5 minutes ago. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much more time we got? We got 5 minutes less than the last time you asked me, right? So let's just keep it that thought. So we can always look and say, hey, it's getting closer. Why? Because time is going away from us in our lives and in eternity, right? Well, eternity never gets away from us, but you understand what I'm talking about as we step through it. But how much more should we encourage people? How much more should we be lifting people up? How much more should we be looking at them and saying, man, I see what your faults are, but look, these are the amazing abilities that you do have. And when your amazing abilities stand by my weaknesses, I'm made strong because you're there, right? Do you know what? Your life is made strong because other people are there. And when you fall down, the worst thing you can be is alone. The worst thing you can be is alone. We need to find other people. The next thing that we see in our notes, we're moving through this quick today. Y'all are quick listeners this morning. The third thing we see is in our notes, and we see him doing this there. He talks about that he was afraid. He took off. He left his guy there. Then he goes and he sits under the broom tree and he says, it's enough now. I can't handle anymore. I am done. I'm no better than my father's. What did he start looking at? All the negative things in his life. We focus on the negative in our life. We start looking at all the ways. So we are away from everyone. We're shut off from everyone. We're by ourselves. And then our mind goes straight to the negative of every part of the situation that's there. We focus on our shortcomings. We focus on our issues. We focus on the problem behind all of it, the inabilities we have to go through it, right? And we focus on the problem instead of focusing on what God has given us, the people he's put in our life, and the fact that he will never leave us or forsake us. I'm going to say that one more time so y'all hear it good. He will never leave us or forsake us. We are never alone. We need to understand that in the middle of everything that's going on, in the middle of everything that's happening, we tend to focus on the negative. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We're going to go back to the Israelites, right? So they come into this land that they're coming to the edge of it, and they're about to go in. What did God tell them? He said, I have a land for you. They call it the promised land, right? Because God made a promise, it belongs to you. And that everything that you need is in that place, and it is flowing with milk and honey. It has everything that you need, and it is flowing with the things that you desire, right? So they come to it, and they send 12 spies out. They send 12 guys, say, hey, let's go make sure it's all God said it was, right? Right? And so the 12 guys go out and they go in there. This is found in Numbers 13. I'm going to read from 25 to 32, or I may stop in the middle. I don't know. This is what happened. It says, and at the end of 40 days, so they took off for 40 days and they're spying the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all of the people in Israel in the wilderness of Paran and at Kadesh, and they brought back the word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they not only told them what was happening, they brought back samples. How many of you love some samples? They brought back samples. I can't wait till they come back at Sam's. I'm just saying. They took them away and free cookies at Publix. They're gone. They're going to come back one day. I promise. Anyway, so they go there. They brought the samples and it says, we came to the land to which you sent us and it flows with milk and honey and this is its fruits. So this is all the good stuff. It is what you said it was. Here's the stuff that says it. But now let me tell you about all the negative stuff that there is. How many know our minds focus on the negative most of the time, if we're honest? There's a few very, very, very positive people in this world that I know. But for the most part, when we see something come, especially myself, when I see something come, I see the negative out of everything before I even get to the positive, right? And it should be the other way around. I should be looking for what God is doing in the situation instead of the issues that I got going on in my life. I'm going to share that I got that issue. If you need to pick it up, probably just put it in your pocket and carry it because you'll have it later. But this is what happens. It says, however, people who dwell in the land are strong. They have their cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of, man, all these words, y'all just roll through them. Negeb, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. And then, this is what happened. Caleb and Joshua, the only two guys out of the 12 that were there. Remember Joshua, he's important. He's the one that takes over later, just so you know. Why? Because he saw what God wanted and he wanted to go for it. And he said, no matter what God said, it's possible, right? We need some Joshua and Calebs in our life. We need some people that are going to say, if God said it, let's do it, man. Let's go. Let's go. So Caleb quieted the people and said, let us go occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go do it because God said it was there for us. Let's don't hesitate. All these things that are happening, let's don't hesitate. And then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land which we have gone through to spy out, the land devours its inhabitants, and all the people that saw in there are of great height. We saw the Nephilim, who are the sons of Anuk, who come from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them, right? This is the image of who we have in our minds, and because of that, that's who we become, right? Were they weaker? Did they not have what it took to take the land? No, they had it. God said, I've given it to you. Go. But because of the anxiety in their mind, because of being anxious and worried and troubled about the situation, they ran away from what God had for them. How many times in our lives do we run away from what God has for us because we're worried about the outcome? We're worried about what's going to happen. God's given us his word and said, this is what you need to do. And be honest, we don't like it sometimes. We don't like it sometimes. How many of you don't like it? Discipline. How many of you don't like having self-control in your life? How many of you know it's so much easier to just do whatever you feel, whatever feels right, whatever feels good, whatever makes me happy? I'm sure God wants me to be happy, right? Remember, go back and listen to our sermon series, God Never Said That. Remember that? Go back and listen to that if that's where you're at in your life, because there are some difficult things and some issues that we have to do in our life in order to walk out the plan of God in our life, right? I wish I could say, man, that if you want to walk out the will of God, just walk out the door and do whatever feels good. That would be great. It's not true. Do you know what happened? It would be great for just a little bit. Great to just a little bit. And then what happens? The consequences of sin come into our lives and take over. It's funny. People get mad when I say this. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say it. Sin is not bad in our feelings. Sin is amazing. Feels good. That's why we want to do it. But the consequences of sin is what's the problem that we have in our lives. One of the main consequences of sin is separation from God. That's the big one. People still don't see that, but that's the big issue that we have. But the relational issues, the issues of everything that go on in our life and how I treat my wife and how my wife treats me with sin in our lives, that is the problem that comes from sin. Amen? We need to understand that the issues that are facing us nowhere compare to our God and what he can do in our lives. We need to stay away from the negative. We need to focus on what God wants to do. We need to surround ourselves. We need to not run away from the situation. Because how many of you know, again, when you run, I'm backtracking. When you run away from the situation, it usually gets bigger. Right? It usually gets bigger. So let me, Nick and I don't have any issues, but I'm going to use Nick as an example. Me and Nick have a problem, right? We don't, but you guys, hypothetical. We have a problem, we have an issue. Instead of me going to Nick and me talking to Nick about it and saying, Nick, man, this is the problem, this is what I see, what can we do to fix it? And fixing the situation, right? I run away from it. And then I run into Christopher, and I tell Christopher about my problem that I'm having with Nick, right? And then Christopher starts to have a problem with Nick. Well, while Nick runs to Rusty and talks to Rusty about the problem he's having with me, then Rusty has a problem with me. And so now it's Rusty and Nick against me and Christopher. And then we go get Aaron, right? You see what I'm saying? That's how issues happen in our life, and that's how they grow bigger. We need to come and say, hey, this is the issue. Instead of running away from it, saying, I don't want to have a confrontation. Confrontation's horrible. I don't like confrontation. But it's better to have the confrontation small than to escalate into a war, right? Think about this. This is Hatfields and McCoys, right? What if, y'all remember that? Hold on. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But Hatfields and McCoys, if the two that had the issue from the start would have got together and talked about it, there wouldn't have been hundreds of people that died in the family feud, right? Generations, right? So thinking that thought, instead of running away, instead of shutting ourselves away from people, instead of focusing on the negative issues of what's going on, if we would stand, as the Word of God says, and we would surround ourselves with people that are going to pour the Scripture into us, because you know what? When I go to Christopher and I've got the issue with Nick, and Christopher knows his Word and knows what Jesus said about handling an argument, he's going to say, did you go to Nick first before you came to me? Because Jesus said, if you got an issue with a brother, go to that brother. If he doesn't hear, then go to another brother. Y'all talk about it. And if y'all go together and see if you can't fix it. And if that doesn't happen, then put it on Facebook. Right? That's No, I never said anything about Facebook in there. My bad. Let me back up. That was culture talking right there, right? No, this is what ends up happening. If we can't solve it, then you escalate it up. But don't escalate it to start with. Point number four, you ready? We forget God in the middle of our situation. So we focus on the storm. Think about Peter walking on the water. He focuses on the storm when he's standing right there with Jesus, right? When in fact Jesus called him out. Hey, yeah, come on out. If it's you, let me come out. He's like, well, come on. Water's fine, right? That's what he said. He didn't say that. But he said, come on out. And then in the middle of the situation that he's going through, he starts focusing on the wind and the waves, the negativity that's around him, and what happens? He loses sight of God. Elijah, again, lost sight of what God had done in his past and what God had called him to do and the ministry that God had given him. Why? Because a woman said, I'm coming after you. Made a threat. And because of it, he lost focus of what God wanted. He went to God, but he's like, God, just kill me now. I just need to come to you. I'm horrible. I'm worthless. I ain't no good. Did God kill him? No. He said, look, let me strengthen you up because I'm going to send you out on something amazing. Right? I'm going to strengthen you up and I'm going to have you go do more than what you've done already. I'm going to take this low place in your life and I'm going to show you that I am everything that you need, that I am your provider, that I'm going to give you strength, that I'm going to give you courage, and that I'm going to walk beside you as you go through the rest of your life. We need to not forget God. The Egyptians forgot that God had brought them through the Red Sea. They had delivered them. They had brought them from the Red Sea. They had fed them while they were walking around. He had said, I'm going to give you this. So why? So I guess 3 out of 4 ain't bad, God, right? That was their thought process? Well, you delivered us. You brought us out here. You're giving us some food while we're here, even though we don't like it and we're griping about it. It's still food. But just because you didn't bring us to the promised land, it's okay. We understand, right? Why did you bring us out here to kill us, God, is what they said, right? They forgot that the one who is providing, the one who's given them the opportunity, the one who has opened the door for them to go in, we forget about it. We forget in the middle of us being anxious. We forget that God has called us to fight for his army, in his army. And that he said he'll deliver us from the giants. Remember, this is how I fight my battles. How do we do it? Going to God, praise and worship, getting into his presence, saying, God, this is what I need. This is where I'm at. This is us telling God that this is where I'm at is not for God. Yeah. It's not. He already knows where we're at. It's for us to say, God, I'm in this position, and I understand who you are in this position, and because of that, I'm going to give this situation to you. That's what that is. That's how we fight our battles. We forget that God has called us to ministry. Each and every one of us. You each have a ministry. Y'all ready for it? Y'all want to know what it is? It's called a ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to point other people to God in the midst of everything that goes on in our life. And because of that, what ends up happening? God gets the glory and people come back to Him. We forget again that God says He'll fight our battles. And we forget about all these things because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. We're taking our focus off of God. And this is what ends up happening in our situation. Negativity is always louder than the positive things in our life. How many of you know the voice of issues that you have are always going to be end up being louder in your head than what God is saying about you? It's true. It's true. We see in 1 Kings 19:11-12, it says, just after this it said, and God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face with a cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you standing here? I've called you to be somewhere else. I've called you to do something else. Do you know when we come out of our anxiety, our anxiousness, do you know what we understand? I don't belong here. I don't deserve to be here. I should be somewhere else. I need to be where God has told me to be all along. And had I been in that situation, had I not allowed these negative thoughts, these things that I envisioned, what the scripture calls evil imaginations that we're to cast at the feet of Jesus, the scripture tells us, if I had not allowed those things to take place, where would I be and what would God be doing with me right now? But you know what? We realize that, and then the first thing we do, we run away again. We shut ourselves off. We say, God, I'm worthless. I can't do anything. And guess what? He has to pick us up again and say, yes, you can, because I am with you. I am with you. We need to understand. God is there, and He's speaking to us. We need to shut out all the noise, all the craziness, and we need to listen to Him. We need to focus on Him. We need to look for godly counsel in our lives for people to share with us and say, hey, this is what God's Word says. Don't listen to the noise. Don't listen to the noise. Problem is, we worry about what people we ain't never met before says on social media about us more so than we care about the people God's placed in our lives to walk beside us and to care about us. Just so you know, there's not a ministry of arguing on Facebook. Like, that's not a ministry. I'm called to preach the gospel and argue with you on Facebook. It's not there. You know what would happen if I said that to God? Y'all remember the voice that He talks to me in? Oh, Tobe, I love you, man. I love you. Right? Moving along quickly. We're going to move to Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, and this is the last thing I want to show you about anxiety, and I mentioned it earlier a little bit. We allow things to control our life in our minds. You know what? I'm going to read the scripture. 2 Corinthians, y'all going to be in the wrong place. You go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Kings 2:11 says this. It says, and as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha cried as he saw it, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen, and he saw him no more. He said, what does that have to do with anything? The very thing that Elijah was so worried about that he ran and hid, about dying at the hand of Jezebel, never ever, ever happened to him. He's one of a few people in the Bible, three I believe, that never died, that were caught up into heaven. So the fear that we battle, that we're so anxious over, so that that our lives are destroyed and taken over by, most of the time are things that's not ever going to happen. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine. I ain't going to tell you who it is. They had a doctor's appointment, and they were going for a stress test. And they said, I cannot get on a treadmill for 20 minutes. And so for like a week and a half before this appointment for the stress test for your heart, those of you know they have a physical and then they have a chemical stress test that they do. And so for the next week and a half, their lives was distraught because of this stress test, because I can't get on a treadmill and walk for 20 minutes. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Their life was devastated beside it, right? And we prayed about it and said, hey, God's going to take care of it. Let's don't worry about that issue until it comes, right? Do you know that person went to their stress test and they went in and it was a chemical stress test, didn't have nothing to do with a treadmill. So for the last week and a half, their life was destroyed in their mind over fretting over something that never was going to happen. I'm bringing it a little closer. My daughter had a dentist appointment, and April made a statement, because usually whenever they go into the dentist and we're there, all four of us go back. Like me, Sydney, Shelby, we all go back. One, Shelby gets to see what's happening to Sid, so she knows there's not really nothing to worry about when's going on, or the other way around. And so we go through things, we do through things, and Sid had to go and get a cap put on after all this craziness because they were shut down and all this stuff. We finally got into it. So they were going to take care of a root canal and some different things she had. They were going to put a cap on it, right? And April made the statement, man, I don't know if they're going to let us all in there because of it. You may have to go back by yourself. Sydney was crying on the bed. It hurts me to see her like that. She was crying on her bed because she was going to have to go in by herself. She didn't want to go in by herself. And I said, baby girl, it's tomorrow. Let's don't worry about that. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Right? What does the scripture say? I might butcher it up. It says, take no thought about tomorrow because it's got enough words of its own. Right? Today has enough words of its own. Just let's deal with today and let's enjoy where we're at today. And if that does happen, now I'm not saying don't plan ahead on things. Man, stock up some food. Get some stuff in your house. Make sure you're prepared. It's okay. But don't revolve your whole world around it and destroy what God has for you today because you're worried about tomorrow. Do you know what happened? Now, April and Shelby couldn't go in. But I got to go in with her. So her fear and what ruined her day, half of her day, never happened, and her day was just ruined. Think about our lives now. How many days have you wasted and ruined because you're worried about something that's never going to happen? Or you're worried about something that may happen, but it's not going to happen to the extent that it's going on in your head. Right? Why? Because we're focusing on the negative. And we put on those negative glasses, what ends up happening? We start seeing negative everywhere. Every situation of our lives. We need to understand that we need to be anxious for nothing. Scripture tells us this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want y'all to do it. I want y'all to say it. Say rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We need to take that to heart and use that in our situations. We need to rejoice in who God is and what he's doing in our situation. Aaron, you can come on back up, man. We need to rejoice and understand that he's in control. And then we need to be reasonable about what we're doing. Remember, put out the craziness. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. How do people see God in your life? The way you act in situations. How do they know that God is a part of your life? How do they know God at all? A lot of people who never will pick up this Bible, right? Man, it was crazy. I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said, I asked somebody, I said, man, how do you read your Bible? What did you read lately? He's like, oh, I don't ever read my Bible. Well, how do you function? How do you understand what God wants to say to you? How do you understand what his word says about what can happen in your life? If you never read this book, other than what you hear me say. And again, when you hear me say it, I want you to go home and look it up. That's why I give you scriptures. Go home and look it up. Study it. Make sure it's in there. But how do people see God in our life? How we act in the midst of our storm? What kind of God do people think is a part of your life when they see your life in the middle of a storm? Think that thought. What do they think about God? What do they think about what you've said about how Jesus is your provider, how God is your provider, how Jesus paid for everything, how he takes away the worries. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you, right? All these things. When we say all those things, what do they see happening in our lives when we come into conflict? Right? I'm going to go back to reading scripture. Y'all are getting serious on me. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is an if then right here. Y'all ready? My dad, that's what he calls him. He's an if then. If the Bible says this, then this is going to happen, right? Or if you do this, then this is going to happen. Do you know the world has it too? It's called cause and effect, right? If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. We want this to happen without doing this. We just want it to happen. Because God's word said it was going to happen, yeah, if we do this. That puts a new spin on everything, doesn't it? It says, when we're not anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. It says, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. We need to go to him about some things. We need to allow him to guard our minds and to give us peace in the middle of the situation. I want you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Right now, you've got some situations in your life that you're anxious about, that you're allowing worry to steal your joy. You're allowing the situation and what's going on and the chaos of today, because today is crazy and chaos, y'all. You're letting the chaos of today consume your life instead of allowing the joy of the Lord to be a part of it and the peace that passes understanding to rule in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You got some situations that anxiety is taking over your life and you're done with it. You've had enough. You want to just put your hand up. I want you to put your hand up. Just hold it up. Keep it up. I've got some issues that I'm allowing to rule my life and I need to give it to God. Dear Heavenly Father, right now you see the hands that are raised, mine included. I ask that you would allow us to see that peace that passes understanding. Right now, God, we understand that you are in control. We understand that you are our provider. We understand that you are strong enough to get us through anything that we're going through, God. We have faith knowing that you're going to do it, but we ask this as well, that you would help our unbelief in the situation. You'd allow us to not focus on the negative, but to see you and your joy, your peace, and your mercy in the midst of all these things that are going on around us. That you give us wisdom on what to do and how to do it, Father God. That you would allow us to leave these things at your feet. That you would send people into our lives to stand beside us as brothers and sisters in Christ and to help us see your plan, your purpose. Allow us to put those people out of our lives that are not going to point us to you in the middle of our situation, but to stir the fire, Father God. I ask that you would help us to not run away from the situation, but to be able to understand that in you we can stand against whatever is coming at us, Father. Let us hear your voice in the midst of the craziness that's around, Father. Let us be accustomed to know what your voice sounds like, what it is, and to push out all the others, Father. And allow us to not forget about what you've done for us in the past, where you're bringing us to. We accept it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. This is what I want you to do when that situation comes up. The first thing I want you to do is to call a brother or sister that you can trust. Amen. If you don't have anybody, you know what else you can do? You can reach out to us on our website, man. You can go on there and fill out a connection card, and there's a place on there where you can put in there, hey, this is the issue I'm having, and we're going to stand in prayer with you. You need to talk to somebody, man. You know, I'm not a counselor, but I can listen, right? I mean, I can listen. I don't have a degree or nothing, but I can tell you what I know the Word of God says in a situation, and I can keep my mouth shut otherwise, just so you know, right? What do you mean? No, I don't mean I ain't going to... That sounded like, I ain't going to go tell nobody. I'm not going to go tell nobody. But you know what? I'm not going to give you advice that I don't know comes from the Word of God. Right? Even if it's going to be difficult, I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah. That's what my dad says all the time, man. You bring something to my dad. Hey, this is a situation. I'm like, what's the Word say? What's the Word? What's God's Word say about it? Because that should be where we go to first. Amen? But we need to find some people to confide in. Not to throw up our issues on, but to confide in, to allow to walk through. Amen? We need that in our lives. You have an issue, you have a problem, man. Get a hold of somebody. Somebody you can trust. Focus on what God has put into your life. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day, and he said, man, I have this and I don't have that. I have this in my life and I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with that. I said, yeah, but do you know how many people would love to be not happy as you are right now? Right? How many people would love to have that, the house, have the car, have the food in the pantry that you're just not happy with eating, that would be happy to have the food that you do have that you don't want, right? And I wasn't saying it to be rude. I was trying to say, hey, look at it from the different perspective, man. That is amazing what you do have right now. You're not hungry. You got a couple pairs of shoes you could wear, right? Probably got enough you could give some away. There's so many different things that you have that you are blessed with. Somebody needs to give away some shoes. I can hear it. I can tell right now. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, there's so many things for us to be blessed about, right? And not upset with. Not focusing on the negative, man. Look at what God is doing. Amen? Amen. This is what I want to do. I want us to pray. We're going to pray when we end. I want us to stand and sing. What song are we singing?
How marvelous.
How marvelous. How many of you know God is marvelous?
Amen.
How know His works is marvelous in our life? Stand to your feet and let's sing together.
I stand.